Welcome to Goodreads Better Friends.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute. We've been busy. Life's a lot.
And if you hear my dog barking, which you definitely will, I apologize. She's upset because we're not getting her attention, so.
She wants to be a featured guest, but we told her that she has to have something interesting to talk about. I'm Morgan.
I'm Aisha.
In case for some reason this is the first episode you're tuning into and you weren't so sure.
It's been so long.
It has. How do you podcast?
I don't even know. When was our last episode even done? I think it was a while ago. So we'll just leave it there.
We do it when we can, folks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let's get into it, shall we?
Right. Yeah. I want to start with news. Do you have any news going on?
No. I have no news.
We're vaccinated. Heck yeah. Yeah.
Everyone get vaccinated.
Yeah. Right, get Belly? Vaccinated.
Belly agrees that you should get vaccinated. Whew.
Get vaccinated, folks. What else? I think it's time for Hot Girl Summer because of that.
I've already been living Hot Girl Summer, like, crop tops all time. Like, that's every shirt I own right now is a crop top, and, you know, I'm just gonna let it hang out.
It's a good life, yeah. That's my look of the summer is crop top with, like, some high-waisted shorts and some fishnet leggings and Doc Marten shoes.
Sounds cute.
It's my look.
I found out that I don't own a single pair of shorts, so except for my, like, raggedy PJ shorts that I usually do wear everywhere because they're so cozy. But, yeah, it's gonna be a pants summer, unfortunately, unless I decide to go shopping, but...
I'll go shopping with you. Okay. You know I'm always down to go shopping.
Okay, we can do that. Because I think I had, like, one good pair of jean shorts, and I donated them with all of my... a lot of my clothes before I moved. Mm-hmm. So I have no shorts.
Oh no.
And I didn't realize it. I was like, because I only started wearing shorts like not too long ago because I was really insecure about my body.
Yes.
And not anymore. So I need the shorts now.
Yeah, it used to be a jeans and then also like cardigans in the summer person because I hated my arms and I hated my legs. And it wasn't until, like, 2018 that I started wearing shorts and, like, tank tops without cardigans over them. And, yeah, I had a big body breakthrough. And now I just, like, go out, you know, with a crop top and shorts and no bra and live my best life.
Honestly,
so.
Me too. Minus the shorts. But crop tops, no bra on it all the time. And it does take a lot of confidence to start doing that.
Cause I think once you start, it's like you're able to stop thinking about it.
Yeah. There's some freedom in it. Like,
oh, so much.
No more man shackles. Oh, my God, time for that.
And then I feel like I act more confident because I feel more confident because I'm just like, all that cares about is like my opinion. And
right.
I feel great. So.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I completely agree.
Hell yeah. So love your bodies and vaccinate those bodies.
I also feel like since quarantine, I have been, like, less body conscious, if that makes sense. Like, I am not aware of my body shape anymore. So, like, I just wear what I want now.
That's important.
Yeah. It's really weird. Because I feel like sometimes when people lose body consciousness, they get more insecure, maybe. But I feel like it made me more confident to not be that body conscious just because I'm walking around in, like, my crop tops and barely anything around here, I guess.
Right.
And, like, when you see yourself like that and you get used to seeing yourself like that, you kind of like it. So.
Well, and that's, they say that, like, if you want to start loving yourself, and this is not something I've done. I've gained a lot of body confidence and this is not how I did it, but they say that start looking at yourself naked more often.
Like, oh, yeah.
Just look at yourself naked more often, which is something that I've always had a hard time doing. But yeah, I think just slowly wearing less clothes also helped, you know? So.
Well, I have no problem looking at myself naked. Which is, I don't know why. Like, I am a pretty insecure person. Not about my body, though. It's usually about my personality. But I'm not insecure about my body anymore. And it has been a long one battle, okay? Oh, my goodness. Self-love is something they should teach you. I'm sure we've ranted about this a million times. But I personally think they should teach it to you from a young age in school. Your parents should be teaching it to you. Because... loving yourself is fucking hard when everyone, like, when you grow up thinking that you have to look and act a certain way all the time, it's like, I mean, we've all gone through that shit, beauty standards and whatnot. When you realize that's all bullshit, it's beautiful up here. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful up here.
It is. I agree.
On the top of all the half-naked people. All the hard-nippled people. All the no braces on their teeth people, because my teeth suck. I'm getting used to looking at them, but I get, like, I am so self-conscious about my teeth. So, like, we posted that picture from the Silent Disco, mm-hmm. and I'm, like, completely aware of my teeth showing, and I hate that part, but I'm like, this is a really good picture.
It is, so I'm gonna ignore
the fact that my teeth are out. But, like, I have never had braces, and it's very obvious, I think, so, like, I get really self-conscious about it, but I don't know how. I feel like this was not what I was originally talking about, but we're just going to go with it. Like, I also have pretty dimples, though, so I want to get used to smiling with my teeth.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you look great. Honestly, I'm not just saying that.
That was a really cute picture, though. Like,
we should put it on the Goodreads Better Friends one so that they know what we're talking about. We'll
post it on Insta. Can we make that the episode picture, like how we did the Better Friends ones? With
absolutely.
Yeah, we'll make that the picture.
Okay, cool. I like that.
You want to get an immediate absorption? Or did you have news?
No.
Besides the vaccination?
I got vaccinated and went on a good bike ride today. That's my news.
I was just telling my sister how much I wanted to get a bike because I just want to go biking.
It's so much fun and I'll ride with you everywhere.
Yay.
So anyways, that was my song. Also, I'm gearing up to get a Kurt Vonnegut tattoo soon. I don't have like a date set, but I know who I want to do it and I just have to reach out to them and, you know, schedule a time and stuff, but I'm gonna get a Kurt Vonnegut tattoo, which I feel like is relevant for our podcast because we did a whole episode on him. So.
Will you tell me when you do that? Because I really want to get my haunted house.
Okay. Yes.
And maybe this person can do that, or someone in the shop mm-hmm. can.
Okay. Yeah, I'll let you know what my experience with them is. Okay. I, like I said, I've known them outside of this, but it was a long time ago. So,
who knows? Is it who I think it is?
It's the person I used to work with. I don't want to, like, say that. I know. Wanna, like, dox them online.
Did we see them at a Target parking lot once?
No.
Okay.
But I did just send you a bunch of their stuff recently.
I follow them on.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
Anyways.
Media absorption.
After they do my tattoo, I'll ask if I can promote them on the podcast, and then we'll give you the name.
Yay! That'd be great. We do need to get better about promoting people, because I've got tons of, like, friends of mine who have little stores or, like, just self-made shops
right.
that I would like to start, you know.
Sharing.
Getting their names out there. That's what this podcast is about. We love our locals. So.
That's right.
Media absorption!
Yay! Okay. What you watching?
I'm watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. can I just say that every motherfucker in that show is chiseled as fuck? Are you kidding me? Even their nose has muscles. What the fuck? Also, I'm like, I'm troubled because I'm like in love with the bad guy. And that's just true. Yeah, and okay. that's just true anime fashion. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like he's redeemable, but at the same time, I'm looking at the way the story's going. Of course, I'm like 6 episodes in. And I'm like, is there motive? Like, is he just angry all the time or is there motive? I'm trying to find the motive. Mm. So, yeah, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I'm probably going to binge it, honestly, because I love it. Like, it's so colorful.
It's very colorful,
It's very pretty. Everyone's pretty. It's a little bit, I mean, and this is also true with animes. The female characters are very, like, pretty. And very, like,
distress.
Damsel in distress. It's very, like, kind of old school, but I think this
it is
manga
from, like, the
old.
80s. Yeah. That original. Yeah.
I think
the third season, I think, has a character named Jotaro.
Jotaro.
Unless it's Josuke. I don't fucking, listen, I don't know shit about JoJo's. My fiance went through it wasn't a phase. He just, like, watched it all at one point, and I, like, kind of absorbed some of it. But the third season, I think, they're, like, a bunch of high school people. And, I liked that one. Okay, bye. That's my part. I didn't even watch all of it, but when he had it on, I liked it a lot. It reminded me a little bit of, Yu Yu Hakusho that particular season, which I didn't watch Yu Yu Hakusho, but I read the manga and I enjoyed that one a lot. That was like my first introduction to manga.
Everyone keeps telling me to watch that and Inuyasha, which I know I need to watch Inuyasha.
I've heard of Inuyasha, but I haven't watched it.
I know I need to watch that. I'm writing it down. Because that's one of my best friends. One of my other best friends. Every friend that I have is my best friend because I have very little friends and I'm very, very close to them. So they're all my besties. But my friend Ashley keeps telling me to watch Inuyasha. So I think she did tell me to watch Yu Yu Hakusho. Yes, sure. I'm going to butcher. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
But anyway, I'm like very interested in anime right now, so I just wanted to start with JoJo's because it was the first thing I saw.
That one's like one of the more, I think, quite popular. It has like a following for sure. So
I'm gonna get
talk
to
Brody about it. I'll enjoy that.
I'm gonna get to the My Hero Academia thing because I know is super popular right now.
Wait, have you watched Attack on Titan?
No.
Oh,
it's
please,
on the
please,
list. It's on the
boost
list.
It on your list. Okay. That's one that I watched
Attack
and I
on
loved
Titan.
It. Yeah.
Okay. How about I watch it after I finish? I'm probably gonna have to go through JoJo's one more time, because this is just how I am with shows, because sometimes my brain is like, doot, 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 and I miss a whole bunch, so I have to rewatch things. Like, I finished the first and second season of Twin Peaks, and then I went back and I rewatched it again, just so I can, like, connect everything, and it just all just makes more sense the next time I watch it, so.
I do that a lot with shows. Well, especially if there's, like, some sort of, like, I don't do it necessarily with, like, sitcoms or comedies, but like if it's suspenseful in any way, I will finish it and then instantly like start it over because I'm like, I want to see all the stuff that I missed, all the foreshadowing.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just did that with something recently and I can't remember what it was. I don't know. Anyways, continue.
I've only seen the first episode of the show Reprisal. Because I honestly just wanted to see it because it had the guy who played Aladdin in it, and I wanted to see how he was with another role. And it's kind of, I mean, I don't really know how to explain it. It's almost feminist. Like, you know the movie with Carrie Mulligan where she's like luring men who are going to or trying to rape women or like assault women in some way. I should not say the hard R like that. I'm sorry. Sexually assault women. There's like a movie about it where she like drugs them and she kills them or beats them or something like that. I can't remember what it's called, but I know it has Carey Mulligan in it. And if you know who Carey Mulligan is, I think she's the one that's married to Marcus Mumford from Mumford and Sons. Just in case. I feel like she's probably more well known than Marcus Mumford, though, to be honest.
She was, what's her name? Daisy in the Gatsby movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
She was also in Inside
Llewyn
Davis.
Daisy's on the nightstand. That just makes me think of Daisy's by Ash Nico.
I don't know that song.
I love Ash Nico. She is a chaotic mess, but I love her. So yeah, Reprisal. It kind of just, I don't know, it has that vibe, but like I said, I've only seen like some of the first episode.
Okay.
I got like distracted because it was the same day my cable box came and like I was putting it together and then I was like sifting through all the channels.
Oh shit.
Multiple times.
Wait, you have cable?
Yeah.
Okay.
This apartment comes with Wi-Fi and cable, so you just pay like one monthly payment for that to the office.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. I love it here. So far. So that is my shows. I have a movie too, which I have been meaning to talk about this freaking movie for so long.
Okay.
It's called Palm Springs and it has Andy Samberg in it. And it's about like these two people, like this man, obviously him, and this woman. They kind of fall in love during this complex situation where they're like reliving the same day over and over and over again. And he's been living it
sort of situation.
Yeah. And he's been living it way longer. Like she just starts, but he's been living it for like hundreds of days and she just started. So it's sort of like they have to figure out how to break the cycle, that sort of thing. But it's super funny and it's super cute. And I've been meaning to tell you about this movie for like 6 months now.
Okay. Palm Springs. What's it on?
It's on Hulu.
Hulu.
It's so funny. I freaking love it.
Cool. What's Reprisal on?
Reprisal's on Hulu, too. Also, it has J.K. Simmons in it, who's in Breaking Bad, and he's in Oz. And it has Meredith Hagner in it, who's from Search Party. She's the blonde. The movie star.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so watch it.
I will watch that.
It has a few other, like, God, what's his name? It looks like Leland from Twin Peaks. I cannot think of what his name is, unless that is him. I don't think that's him. You know, I'm blanking, so I'm just going to let it go. Okay. But it has a lot of famous people in it.
Cool. Okay. I like big cast.
That's what I've been watching. Other than that, I've just been watching, like, American Dad. Because that's my favorite adult cartoon. And I watch Nora from Queens. Mm. And I think that's really it. I haven't really watched much. And I've been watching Twin Peaks. That was, like, my comfort show.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was in the same boat. I couldn't find a lot of new shows that I've been watching. I've been just rewatching a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to restart Modern Family because I was like part of the way through it when they took it off of Netflix and I was like, okay, I guess I'm not watching this. But now it's on Hulu, so I'm like, okay, I guess I'll watch it. But I forgot everything that happened. At the time of my life that I was watching it, all the family stress that they were going with was giving me mad anxiety and I couldn't deal with it. So I had to like take long pauses from it. But now I feel pretty, like, everything in my life's going pretty decent, so I'd say that maybe I can watch this very stressful family drama and be okay with it. So, yeah, I just, like, been rewatching a lot of shows. But the only new show that I've been watching is Mayor of Easttown on HBO Max, and that's pretty good. It has Kate Winslet as the main character, and fucking the boy that everybody loved from American Horror Story. Evan Peters.
Oh, Daddy. Daddy Peters.
He plays like a, he's such a grown up now. Ooh. I mean, at the same time, I'm like, this guy's 14, but in reality, he's like, in the show, he's like 30 something.
Daddy Peters. But, okay. Okay. You will address you him as that. Daddy Peters.
Yeah, so he's in it. Who else is in it? Roy from The Office is in it. It's set in Pennsylvania, so they all have, like, a really weird accent that I've never noticed Pennsylvanians having before, but they all have it in it. It's like a murder. It's like a, it's not, like, a procedural by any means, if you ask me, because a lot more delves into the personal life of Mayor is the name of the main character, and she's played by Kate Winslet, and she's just, like, this tired mother and grandmother, and she's also like the detective that's put on like homicides and stuff in this very small town, and so there's been like a murder in the small town, and it's just like it's real messy because like it's such a small town that everybody knows everybody, and so like her own daughter was at the crime scene kind of, and like because it was at a party in under a bridge, and then like her husband was friends with the victim even though the victim was like a teenager, or her ex-husband was friends with the victim, so that makes him look bad, and that makes her look bad, and it's very complicated. It's not as complicated, I think, when you're watching it, but yeah, it's pretty good. I like it so far. So yeah, Mayor of Easttown, that's pretty good. And then, like I said, I've just been rewatching a lot of shows, and I've been watching Brody playing Resident Evil 8, which has been a lot of fun. I've been enjoying that, but yeah, other than that, I was bewildered. Before I came over, I was like, what have I been watching? And I came in to Brody, I was like, what do I watch? He's like, I don't know, you've been watching that one show. And I'm like, yeah, I've been watching that for like 5 days. What else do I watch? I'm like, we haven't recorded in almost a month. I've watched something. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I think you just have been rewatching stuff. I'm like, yeah, I think you're right.
My cat just vaulted over the dog door.
Oh, I didn't see her. I just heard the noise.
Self was so graceful.
So yeah, that's pretty much it. For me.
It's ski. Alright.
What have you been listening to podcast-wise?
Okay, so I've made two lists. I've made one list of what I've been listening to and one list that I've wanted to try.
Okay.
So I have two on the wanted to try. One is called Fixuasion, and I'm pretty sure they follow us on Goodreads Better Friends, but I didn't know, like, what they were, and then I actually clicked on it and saw that it's, like, them reading, like, short fiction stories.
Ooh!
So I thought that was really cool.
How do you spell that?
Fixuasion. It's Fixuasion.
Okay, Fixuasion.
Yeah.
They follow us on Goodreads?
I'm pretty sure they do.
Fixuasion, thank you. I'm going to check them out too then.
And then Queer Dungeoneers. because I've been so into the Adventure Zone, I've kind of wanted to listen to other Dungeons and Dragons podcasts. Because nothing is beating the Adventure Zone. It's just so good. It's
so good.
So this one was recommended to me by Spotify, so I just followed it. And I read the description. I was like, I'm kind of sold on it. Plus, it's called Queer Dungeoneers. Like, Spotify knows what the fuck they're doing by sending that shit to me. So I followed that. I haven't listened to it yet, so that's on my podcast I want to try. I think, yeah, that's all for that. Okay. But what I've been listening to, I've gotten back into Two Girls, One Ghost. I'm about, I think I counted 30 or so episodes behind. I'd fallen behind because my roommate and I would, like, watch shows while we worked. I mean, no, we would never do that.
They would be on in the background.
Yeah, yeah, basically, yeah. So I couldn't focus on a podcast and a show, so plus my work, because then I would literally get nothing done. So I wasn't really listening to anything. So now I'm getting caught up on Two Girls, One Ghost. I'm getting caught up on This Paranormal Life, which is a really good, funny paranormal podcast. I know I've talked about this before, but it is so funny. It's with Kit and Rory, and also their fucking Facebook group is my favorite thing on Facebook. It is the only Facebook group that I've ever been in where everyone is just awesome and, like, everyone is hilarious. Aww. And it's just a bunch of weird people who love ghosting creepy stuff. And there are tons of, like, inside jokes from the podcast that we all share. And it's just so fun. Like, I love the environment for This Paranormal Life, so I definitely recommend that. And then one other one that I'd gotten into, I had gotten into it when it was starting, so it only had, like, 11 episodes, and now it has, like, maybe 30 or something. It's called Felonious Florida, and it's another true crime podcast talking about all the weird shit going on in Florida. So, we all know Florida's kind of, you know, Florida. It's its own fucking world, so I would definitely recommend listening to it. It's interesting. So, yeah, that's what I've been absorbing.
I like it. I've been listening to, I got back into Serial recently.
Nice.
I like Serial a lot. Nice. I've been listening to, I started listening to Ask Me Another, which is an NPR show, but it's like in podcast form too. I used to listen to it on NPR, but they have lots of really great guests because I started listening again. It's always been like something I've subscribed to, but I started listening because they had the McElroy brothers on one episode. And it's like, so it's basically it's a quiz show, but the quizzes are like so dumb and hilarious, and nobody actually gets points or wins anything. It's just like they make up really funny quizzes, and so they have the McElroy brothers on there, and then I listened to one that had Beth Stelling, which is a stand-up comedian that I like. I didn't know she grew up, she graduated from Oakwood High School, she's like from Dayton, but she's done stand-up comedy on like, Put Your Hands Together with Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher. She's been on Two Dope Queens. Like, she's, like, done a lot of good stand-up. So, yeah, well, they just always have, like, really funny, good guests. And, what else? Where is it? Oh, and then I've just been listening to a lot of The Last Podcast on the Left. That's so good. I've been, like, staying up to date on their most recent stuff, and then when I'm caught up on everything recent that they've done, then I start going backwards. And, yeah, I'm, like, it, like, stresses me out sometimes, just, like, the awful things that they cover, but it's also, like, really fucking funny, and they're gonna start doing live shows again. I'm excited for people to start doing, like, obviously, like, concerts and stuff, but, like, I am at the point now where I'm into enough podcasts, and I'm financially able enough to, like, start going to live shows of podcasts. I can't fucking wait. I want to go to a Last Podcast on the Left live show, if we can. I think Morbid does live shows,
yeah, they do.
So we should go to a Morbid live show. Agree. And I'm gonna go to a My Brother and Me live show. Oh my gosh, I can't wait! I'm so excited.
My friend Dana, you guys know Dana. Dana and I went to, because we really like this. They're a podcast. They also have a YouTube channel, and that's where we started. Mm-hmm. Tiny Meat Gang. I'm probably have talked about them. They're so funny. Don't look at their content if you might be a little oversensitive. Not that they're problematic, but they are comedians. I'm just gonna say that. It's sort of like Last Podcast.
Well, yeah, Last Podcast on the Left is the same way. They make jokes about serial killers and stuff. So, like, you're not into that, you know, you might get a little offended. But they're not problematic.
Right. They're not they're actively anti-feminist and stuff like that. Right,
exactly.
It's just, it could be considered, like, they have, one of their most popular videos is making fun of this Christian girl's vlog. And it's really funny. But they also ended up getting that girl a lot of hate. So they, really had to tell people to leave them alone.
Right.
Because they were just doing it for comedy purposes. They didn't mean for, like, it to blow up like that. Right. So stuff like that. But I love Tiny Meat Gang. But anyway,
Is it M-E-E-T or M-E-A-T?
M-E-A-T.
Okay.
T-M-G. We got tickets. Well, we got tickets 2 years ago, and we saw one of their live shows, and it was so funny, and it was so great. And then we got more tickets this year, and it was canceled because of COVID. Uh-huh. So we're really sad about it. Like our Watsky
concert.
Yeah. It wasn't canceled, though. Watsky
was rescheduled.
Yeah. They still haven't given us any dates, though, mm-hmm. which sucks.
It's like September, they said they're shooting for, right?
Yeah, but they haven't said anything in stone yet. But anyway, you're still talking about...
Oh, yeah. No, I'm done.
Podcast. Oh, music?
Music! Yes. You want to go or you want me to? You can go.
I can go. Okay. So, I've been kind of going back to some of my older playlists just because I haven't been seeking out music lately, which is weird for me, but I've also just been too busy. Mm-hmm. So, I kind of just went back to some of my older playlists. So, my first song is I'm Afraid of Americans by Lung, which is one of my favorite songs by them. they have this one part in the song that goes like, Donald's an American. Donald looks up at the stars. Donald comes as payback. Donald likes pussy and cars.
Oh, I like that.
And this song is just so great. It's about Donald Trump. I love it. What's my next one? Dirty Dirty by Charlotte Cardin. I just really like the sound of this song. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily, it's not like ballady, but it's sort of like, it's not necessarily a fast song, I guess. It's somewhere in the middle. I don't know how else to explain it. But it's about her liking this guy and him being really shallow, basically. So she's like, you know what? Even if I'm ugly, it's fine. Like, I don't need you. Like, it's just a cute song. And she's also, like, dissing the girl that he's going out with. Like, okay, I guess she's hotter than me or whatever. But I like the song. Next one is Falling by the Civil Wars, which personally I think is one of their best ballads. Mm. It's my favorite. I can do a vocal cover of it, but I mean, I could probably try learn it on the ukulele, but I've been so bad about that, so maybe not. But yeah. I could do a vocal cover of it if I don't know. Hudsonville, Michigan, 1956 by La Dispute. It's on not their latest album, but the one they put out before their I think their latest album was 2018. I don't know if they put out anything. I don't know if they put out anything more recent than that, but there was an album before that 2018 album that this one was on. I cannot remember what it is called right now, but this is my favorite song from it. La Dispute, like, for a lot of their songs, what they do is they sit down and, like, create stories, and they just sort of create their music from a story. So this story is, like, about... It, to me, it seems like it's about going through something traumatic, like a natural disaster, and, like, losing everything, and just the fear of being in, like, a tornado or something. Like, it's so interesting. I don't know. Something about the way that he performs his music, Jordan Dreyer, or Dreyer, I don't know. I've never heard his name actually said. Something about the way he performs it, to me, is just so nice. Like, the screaming, it just gets me.
Yeah. It's unlike any that I've heard before, for
honestly,
sure.
Honestly, yeah. In a Week by Hozier. This song is really, really beautiful. It's about, like, someone finding bodies that have been dead for a while, and it's, like, them not knowing they're dead, if that makes sense. Like, they kind of have beautiful... It's not creepy, though. It's beautiful. Okay. Like, they kind of describe what it feels like and what everything looks like instead of describing the actual decaying bodies on the ground. So they do it in, like, a really beautiful way. It's a beautiful song. Like, okay, Sam, Emily and I went to a Hozier concert, I think in Cincinnati, like, years ago, during Take Me to Church season, and I hadn't heard this song, even though I had listened to the album. I had not heard this one, and I heard it performed live, and I was like obsessed with it.
Yeah,
afterwards.
Don't you love that? When you hear it live,
yeah, there's just something about that. Izzy, leave that cicada alone. Look at her. We're gonna hear her like attack the glass in a second. I got a song by Mickey Shiloh called Drunk on the Mic. I'm sorry, I have a lot of songs.
No, you're good.
It's called Drunk on the Mic. It's the only song that I've heard by her that I like, and she's kind of young. I don't know what to say about it. You just gotta experience it. It's sort of like something I've never heard before. And it's about, like, her being young and dating an older man. And then clearly the older man has, like, dumped her and she's pissed about it. So
okay.
That's what the song is about. And then I've decided to start putting one K-pop song in every single
okay.
Because I want people to listen to K-pop. I love K-pop. It's one of my favorites. So this is called Psycho by Baekhyun, and he's a member of the K-pop band EXO. And he has, like, this really smooth R&B voice that I really like. All of his songs are nice and, like, his solo songs are very R&B-esque, and I just love it so much. But this is my absolute favorite song that he's ever done. Some of them are weird, but this one I freaking love. So, Psycho, Baekhyun, listen to it.
Okay.
That's all my music.
Oh, cool.
I'm sorry, I have so
no,
much.
No, you're good. I, like, discovered this song. I discovered it. I was the first one.
No, I'm Christopher Columbus right now.
I'm Christopher Columbus.
You're claiming.
Right now.
You're laming claim. You're. Oh my God. You're
laming
claim.
I'm lame.
You're laying
sure.
claim over something that's been discovered.
Yeah,
already.
For sure. Something that was created by popular people. It's called "Your Dystopic Creation Doesn't Fear You," and it's by the band Deerhoof, but it's featuring our one and only Awkwafina, and. Holy shit. I can't stop listening to that. Like, legit, I listen to it, and it just, I hit the repeat button, like, as soon as it's, like, over. Sometimes it's not even fully over, and I just restart it anyways. So it starts in with this, like, dope-ass fucking guitar, just like, ding-ding-ding, right? And then you hear fucking Awkwafina go, rats!
Oh!
Rascals! And it's just, like, so basically, and then she has, like, a little rap part, and I love her fucking voice. And then the lead singer of Deerhoof has, like, this really, like, sweet, high-pitched voice. And so she sings her little part of it, and then the fucking guitar is, like, just, like, cuts in. And it's, dude, it's so good. Yeah. And it has, like, movements and everything through it, and there's not a part I don't like. Like, every part is my favorite part of this song, including the title, "Your Dystopic Creation Does Not Fear You." Mm-hmm. I fucking love that. So that song's my favorite right now, so everybody should listen to it. "Purge the Poison" by Marina, formerly known as Marina and the Diamonds, featuring Pussy Riot. It's very good. It's like a little feminist bop, and, she just, like, in one of the lines, she's basically saying how, like, Mother Nature is, like, fucking, punishing us for the way that we act and what we're doing, like, need to purge the poison, and, she says, later on in the song, she says, "I just want a world where I can find the feminine. We only make up 1/4 of the government." Just, like, yeah, basically it's, like, kind of feminist, and, it's good. Yeah, I like it.
I think I added that to my my newer playlist.
Pussy Riot's
part
of it is good, too. And then another one that I love is called "Someone Tell the Boys." This is, like, so this week, I can't stop listening to "Your Dystopic Creation Doesn't Fear You." Last week, I couldn't stop listening to "Someone Tell the Boys." It's just, like, the lead singer's, or the singer's voice, her name is Samia, S-A-M-I-A. Her voice is real, real good. And she's basically saying, like, "Someone tell the boys they're not important anymore." And, like, the whole song is about her just, like, it's just a big eye roll at boys. Like, she's just, like...
I love big eye rolls at boys.
She's, like, one of the lines is, "I have anecdotes to offer, but that won't do much for this gentleman. Because every thought... all of his thoughts are a sacrament," or something like that. Just, like... You can hear her fucking rolling her eyes, and it's just real good. "Left-Handed Kisses" by Andrew Bird featuring Fiona Apple. Real good. I just, like, I guess I had added it to my music, like, a long time ago, to, like, my big, big, all my music playlist. And so I, like, was sitting there one day, and I, like, heard it. I was, like, it started playing. I was, like, cool, Andrew Bird. And then Fiona Apple started playing, and I was just, like, what? Like, flip the table, Fiona Apple singing. So it's real good.
If Morgan could slide into Fiona Apple's skin, she would.
I love her so much. Are all of these women? No, well, Andrew Bird, but, like, featuring a woman that I love. So the next one is I Threw Glass at My Friend's Eyes and Now I'm on Probation by Destroy Boys. Just a very, like, grungy, girly, well, not girly, but, like, grungy Riot Girl kind of sounding. It reminds me a little bit of Fox Bodies. I don't know if you remember
Michelle.
Yeah, very much. Reminds me of Fox Bodies.
I remember Dana loved Fox Bodies.
Good, because I did too. And then my last one is Transparent Soul by Willow.
Transparent Soul! Yep. Can I just say something real quick? I cannot explain to you how much the black community needs Willow Smith and they need Frank Ocean so much. Ooh. Because they do such different things. Like, she goes from, like, kind of R&B to, like, some indie rock to, like, this fucking punk music. And it's, like, we don't see enough famous black people in punk music. Mm-hmm. And she is so important, because do you know how much I would be in a punk band if someone would put me in a band?
Right.
So fucking quick.
Yeah, we need way more diversity in, like, the rock, indie, and punk, I think, communities.
And also, it's black people needing to accept that more music exists outside of rap and R&B. And that might be controversial, but I am black, and, like, I grew up around black people, and, like, it was literally me being bullied for listening to rock music. So, she's important. Mm-hmm. I need more Willow Smith.
Get it, Willow! I feel like I always add every single new album that she puts out, because they're all golden. I feel like she's tried so many different things, and they've all been great.
Yes.
Like, everything she does is amazing. Yeah. She's great.
Well, my friend sent me, I can't remember what it was called, Meet Me at the Altar. Yes, yeah. Meet Me at the Altar.
Which
she has, like a side band with this, like, a duo with this other guy. And, there was a whole album, which I didn't even know existed. And, my friend sent me one of the songs, and she was just like, bless your ears. I was like, it's Willow! Like, oh my God, I love her. We need her. Okay. All right.
Sorry. I think I'm done. Oh, it's all me musics.
It's all your musics?
It's all me musics.
All right.
Cool beans. We done did it. Now we have the rest of the podcast to do.
The book portion.
I gotta be honest with you. I read this book a long time ago. I made these notes right after I read it. Good thinking, Morgan.
Oh, there you go.
But I haven't, like, actually, like...
Excuse me.
I don't know. I just put it down a long time ago, and I think usually things leave my brain, so...
Me too.
I went over my notes today and stuff, but if I have a hard time finding the words to say my thoughts, that's just because that's who I am.
I was just about to say, that is literally who I am as a person. Like, have you listened to me speak?
We were like, let's start a podcast.
I know.
We don't know how to express ourselves. Let's do it to lots of people. Let's make them listen to us stumble around.
What was our quote? We do good talk. We do good talk, yeah, because neither of us can, like, form a coherent sentence. It's fine.
It's fine.
I think it's a...
You're listening to us, yeah. So...
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sorry for the torture.
Sorry for our not releasing podcast episodes regularly.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Life just is life.
I'm reading a book right now called Everybody Has a Podcast Except You. And basically everything that they're telling us to do is things that we don't do. And I'm like, oops. Oops.
Make a list. Fine.
We're still doing great. We still have followers. That's all that matters. Who cares? What do the McElroy brothers know about making podcasts?
They don't have tons of them.
Oh, man. Just kidding. I love them, and everything they do is magic.
She just needed to get that out. She was holding it in.
You know, I don't talk about lately I haven't been talking. When I say podcasts that I'm listening to, you just need to understand that it's also anything McElroy related. Yeah. Like, I don't even talk about it anymore because I feel like I was just talking about it so often. So anyways. You want me to go first? How to do a podcast. Yes, you go first.
Okay. So I read Normal People by Sally Rooney, which is a show on Hulu right now as well, which I had watched most of it, but I haven't finished it, but it was just so good that I wanted to read the book, so I read the book. Apparently the ending in the book and the show are different, but ooh. I haven't finished the show, but I liked the writing of this book, but I will say that it really dragged on this relationship for the entire book, and I'm going to explain what I mean by that. So this is about Connell and Marianne, who are like just on the opposite ends of the spectrum. It starts off with them in high school, and this is in the UK, I think. So, like, I think when they're in uni, they're, like, 16. Like, I still think they're pretty young. I don't remember, but I think that is when
I think college is high school and uni is, what we call college.
Yeah.
So.
But I think that's the age they go, right? I don't remember. Or 18. Unless it's the same through us. I don't know. But, so it sort of goes through them with their very complex relationship, also combined with how much they've grown since they were in, I'm just going to call it high school, in high school. So Marianne was sort of this really quiet, very smart, but also really rebellious girl that is in the book. The character in the show is fucking gorgeous. And it pisses me off because she's supposed to be unattractive. Mm. And then I think the guy in the show is unattractive, but he's supposed to be super, super handsome. Actually, I saw more pictures of him, and I was like, maybe I just thought he was at the time, but I think he's kind of cute now. But, yeah, so he's, like, this really handsome, like, jock boy. It's almost like the typical story of, like, the, you know, the jock and the nerd girl kind of falling in love slowly, but it's not. It's done. It's sort of like Department of Speculation, how it's sort of that mundane storyline told in this really interesting way.
Okay.
So this love was weird. It started off casual, like, casual sex, but immediately Marianne just kind of in her head, like, you learn through time that she's a bit of a pushover, but when it comes to Connell specifically, she's, like, super submissive, and she's, like, in any aspect of her life, she just says, like, I will do anything you want me to do. Ooh. Like, she doesn't say that to him directly, but she does think it a lot,
right.
And I think even she knows that that's really dangerous, that she's so intensely connected to him that she would do anything for him. And that's the basis of their entire relationship. It's very, very intense, and they're in love with each other, but they can't really be monogamous with each other. It's really weird. And it's just interesting. I don't know. Through the whole book. And at first I was like, this just seems like that same typical trope, and it was making me mad because it was like Connell was sort of saying, like, she's just too ugly, and, like,
oh, fuck that guy.
He was just, well, he didn't, like, say that specifically. Like, to him, she's always been beautiful, but he's like, always saying, like, or he's, like, always worried about his image. Like, even though she's sort of the rich one, she has, like, the money, she comes from the money family, his mom actually works for her family cleaning the house.
Oh.
He's still really popular because he's, like, the jock guy. Mm. He's in all the sports. He hangs out with all the popular kids. He goes to all the parties. He's really handsome.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, like, in high school, always worried about his image, so he always hid her. You know? Mm. And I fucking hate when guys hide girls. When guys are hiding you, get the fuck out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck out. They don't,
you.
They have no respect for you. So he kind of grew out of that as he started to fall in love with her. And he would even always tell her, like, there's something about the sex with you. Like, everything is just, it's just kind of like, it's like they just mesh in every physical way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a relationship that's doomed from the start. And as she gets older, she kind of has more guys that really, really want to be with her because she's just got that edge to her, you know? She's, like, really smart. She's, like, the cigarette, skinny, like, black dress kind of girl that every... I mean, that's how she's described in the book. Like, and, like, every guy just really wants her. So he has to cope with that, with his feelings. They keep... you know, getting really, really, really close and then separating and then getting, like, they come together at, like, weird different points in their lives. Mm-hmm. So the book ends, and I love the way this ended because it was the most realistic ending, but it's also the ending that needed to happen where they don't end up together. Because I feel like in relationships that are too intense like that, it's dangerous. And I think we've all, for the most part, sort of had something like that, like where we just would do dumb shit for some, for this one person. Mm-hmm. And we think that's love, but it's not. It's just, I think it's just really intense lust that we get confused with because the chemistry. And it's like, I think, like, I know everyone I know, most people that I know have been into, like, some kind of a relationship like that, where when you look on it later, you realize it really wasn't meant to be.
That wasn't healthy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think that's what happened with Connell and Marianne. They're just like, we don't need to be together. He, like, got a job offer in New York, and they're in the UK, obviously. Mm. So, it ends sort of open-ended, like, you don't really know the decision that he makes, but we're pretty sure that he's going to go to New York. He's going to go to America, and she's going to stay in the UK. So they don't end up together at the end of the book. And that's just the best ending for these characters to me. Like, obviously, I'm talking a lot. I love this book. I thought it was great. It was very well written. And she has another book called Conversations with Friends that I'm really interested in reading.
Does it have anything to do with that one, or is it totally different?
No, totally different book. Cool. So, yeah, Normal People, I definitely recommend reading it if you like that sort of weird, I guess, indie romance kind of thing.
Well, you compared it to Department of Speculation, so I love that book, you know, everybody knows that, so, cool, I'll consider reading that one then.
Well, I own it if you ever want to borrow it.
Okay, let me get through, do I have any more of your books?
I have no idea.
I have a lot of our dear friends books that I need to get through. I gave
all of those back.
I'm actually interested in reading the most recent ones you gave me, so.
I think I just have that one book by you, but I have like three books in front of it.
Okay, so take your time. Seriously, I'm not going to be rereading that one anytime soon. Because, sidebar, I think after I finish reading Everyone Has a Podcast Except You, and then I'm also reading a Sylvia Plath book right now, after I'm done with those two, I think I'm going to purchase and read the new You book. Or are we reading that together?
I'll purchase it with you. Don't worry. We'll let me know. We can get it on Friday.
And then we'll, like, talk mad shit about it on here. Not mad shit, but, like, we'll probably have... We should just have, like, an episode where we talk about that whole series of books and how it differs from the TV show. So, spoiler, it's going to be spoilers, probably, because we're not going to leave. No, we got to talk about it. So, hell yeah, that'll be good. Okay, a You episode. So anyways, what I am reading right now is, not this. I'm finished with this book. What I read most recently is a book called For Her Own Good, 2 Centuries of the Expert's Advice to Women by Barbara Ehrenreich and Deidre English. This book was originally, disclaimer, this book was originally published in 1978, and then a revised edition was released in 2005, which by today's constantly growing and changing, I guess, political atmosphere, that is still pretty outdated. That's like 15, 16 years ago now. So that is still pretty outdated. Something for me to consider. But it is mostly history-based. So, I mean, it's mostly about, like, the evolution of men's advice to women, or just expert advice to women, which you'll quickly find out means men's advice to women. And so, like, it is mostly about our history. So, but yeah, I could do with a more revised modern version of it for sure. So, anyways, basically this book details how women's lives have been dictated by men and their kind of their whims and their, like, I don't know, needs to have power over women for like 200 plus years. And
it's interesting to me because we were just talking about going braless.
Yeah.
And how that is something that we do for men.
Well, and, you know, like, a lot of, like, these conventions that women were expected to hold to, like having shaved legs and armpits, literally
was just a way to get women's money.
I know.
There's, like, advertisement, like...
It's like the jeans with like, no pockets.
Right.
To get us to buy purses.
They're like, how can we get more money from our consumers? Well, why don't we
make start women feel bad about their bodies?
Yes. I mean, that's exactly it. That's, so, yeah, that's one of the things. And so, like, a lot of, like... things that are expected of women, especially beauty standard wise, were made just by capitalism. Mm-hmm. So that's what this book is heavily like. After the Industrial Revolution, shit got, I don't want to say even more bad for women, because shit's always been bad for women, but it got new kinds of bad for women. And capitalism just like was the worst for women, like real bad for women. So I'll start with that. So my introduction, I have like lots of quotes to read because I'm bad at words, but the book already has them out there for me, so I'll just use theirs. So the relationship between women and the experts was not unlike conventional relationships between women and men. The experts wooed their female constituency, promising the quote unquote right and scientific way to live, and women responded, most eagerly in the upper and middle classes, more slowly among the poor, with dependency and trust. It was never an equal relationship, for the expert's authority rested on the denial or destruction of women's autonomous sources of knowledge, the old networks of skill sharing, the accumulated lore of generations of mothers, but it was a relationship that lasted right up until our own time, when women began to discover that experts' answer to the woman question was not science at all, but only the ideology of masculinist society dressed up as objective truth.
Ooh.
So, yeah, that whole fucking paragraph, I have, like, lines all over. So, essentially, yeah, what it's summing up is... this rise of the male expert and the male doctor took away women's, like, healing abilities. You know, midwives, female healers, they passed this knowledge of things that actually worked, like different herbs and stuff that helped sick people, like back before medieval times even. They stripped women of their ability to share this knowledge with each other, and instead women were kind of almost forced to heed the advice of men who didn't fucking even know what they were talking about, which I'll get more into there. Yeah, so basically witches, quote-unquote witches, which were usually just, like, herbalists and stuff, and healers were the, like, OG doctors. They were doctors before doctors were, like, recognized as a quote-unquote profession.
Uh-huh.
They weren't just midwives. They were, like, general practitioners. They helped the people in the village that were sick. Until medieval Europe time, when it became, like, a man's job. So I'll read. The historical antagonist of the female lay healer was the male medical professional. The notion of medicine as profession was in some ways an advance over the unexamined tradition of a female healing. A profession requires systematic training and, at least in the... at least in principle, some formal mechanisms of accountability. But a profession is also defined by its exclusiveness and has been since the professions of medicine and law first took form in medieval Europe. While the female lay healer operated within a network of information sharing and mutual support, the male professional hoarded up his knowledge as a kind of property to be dispensed to wealthy patrons or sold on the market as a commodity. His goal was not to spread the skills of healing, but to concentrate them within the elite interest group which the profession came to represent. So essentially, female healers shared their knowledge with other women in the village or with the mothers that they were helping, whereas the, like, male professional that came out of it, the doctor that came out of it, they hoarded their knowledge and charged people for healing and stuff like that. So basically, men suck and capitalism sucks. So then it kind of moves on to, like, the late 1800s, early 1900s, and hysteria, the whole thing. You know, we talk about hysteria when we talked about the yellow wallpaper, which she mentions a lot in here. Doctors often thought that almost all female sickness had to do with their vagina or their ovaries. They thought it was just, like, a pit of evil, essentially, and it caused most sicknesses, or they thought that female sickness, especially like hysteria or like depression essentially, was caused by women rejecting their femininity, and that most sickness was caused by like penis envy. So this woman doesn't want to be a woman. She wishes she were a man, and so that's what's causing her depression.
Oh,
it's
God,
like,
amen.
It's real bad. Okay. And then, yeah, hysteria, the word hysteria comes from the Greek word for uterus. So anyways, then it moves on to like mid-1900s, 1950s and 60s. And it has, like, a whole chunk of talking about, like, expert advice to mothers and how, like, early on mothers were advised they needed to be strict with their children and have them on a strict schedule and only feed them certain things and super strict. But then later they're like, well, mothers are being too strict and it's ruining their children. So then they're like, you have to be permissive. You have to let the children do what they want. The children are little animals and they will tell you when they need to eat. They will tell you when they need to sleep. And then they're like, these women have been too permissive with their children and they're spoiling their children and they're terrible. So it's a constant fluctuation between women need to be strict and hold on to their children and hover above them. And then women need to just let the kids do what they want. You're ruining them. And it's like literally no way. There's no proper way to do it. And women are one day told to do one thing one way. And then the next day told that they've been ruining their children by doing that thing that they were told to do. It's like women just can't be good mothers. And even later, there were lots of experts that say that women subconsciously wanted to ruin or kill their children. Yeah, it's, like, terrible.
You do see a lot of those sort of tropes in television and movies mm-hmm. a mm-hmm. lot, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the whole Oedipus complex. Oh, don't get me started on that. Oh, God. That's
rampant in porn. We talked about that in my sex and health class, and it was like, what is actually going on here?
Yeah. So, yeah, they talked about the Oedipal complex things, too. And it's just, oh, fuck, dude. It's so... it's a really frustrating book to read because you're just like,
why did I have to read that fucking... Not this one. Yeah. But obviously. But Oedipus, I had to read that. I read it in high school. I read that book in college mm-hmm. twice. Mm-hmm. Two different classes. Two different years. I have read that book 3 times in my life. Do you know how much I want to gouge my eyes out?
I love it. It's true, though. So, yeah, eventually expert advice to women became almost exclusively for the capitalist aspect of it. So experts advised that women use such and such cleaner. Otherwise, you know, their houses won't be properly clean and it'll kill their children and their husbands will hate them. And so, like, it did. It became, like, a means to, like for advertisement almost. Like, experts advise you use Dawn dish soap and stuff like that.
So they're just bullying women into submissiveness?
Yes.
Or subservience, exactly. I should say?
And it kind of talks about the shift of power because women became the main, like, consumers, but the people who did all the shopping for the household. And so, like, there was, like, a weird shift of power and then suddenly men started feeling defenseless. And so there was, like, a whole fucking power struggle there. And, it's bad.
Fragile masculinity is so fragile.
And then eventually in the late 60s and early 70s, advertisers realized that more money is spent and more consumption is caused by like singles, like a bunch of singles. They'll buy more shit just for themselves than like a family would buy like a bulk pack of something for their, you know what I mean? So that's finally when women were allowed to have the like, quote-unquote single lifestyle. Like, the quote-unquote single lifestyle was embraced by advertisers, and then they were thought of, like, these, like, flighty little women just out and about in town and stuff like that, and it's just, like, all of it just, like, paints women in such bad lights. All of this quote-unquote expert advice is just, like, men trying to control the lives of women for the means of usually money. There was a part, I don't even remember... I am going to sell this book because I don't need to keep it, but there's a lot of shit written in it. And there are just, like, right here, there's one where I have, like, an angry face that I drew next to a quote. The quote is, poverty, religious conservatives preach, is the result of a moral failing. So I put, like, a really frowny face because, yeah, which is true. And then there was a part, I don't know where it is, but... I underlined it, and then next to it, I wrote, wow, fuck capitalism, and somebody's gonna see that one day, and I love that. So, this quote is from page 362. Doctors can act as fierce protectors of women's and consumers' health rights. In their practices, they should inform clients about when medicine is certain and when it is less so, where bias can influence opinions, and how commercial manipulation may prevail. So basically, doctors should rally for women, but I don't know. Obviously, it's failed them so much up to this point. Yeah, so this book was really frustrating to read.
Yeah, I applaud you for continuously reading books like this.
Well, yeah.
It bums me out.
Well, but I feel like I learned some shit. I got mad, but... Yeah. It was fascinating. I learned a lot from it. It made me angry often. It made me lose hope in, like, society more than I already had. But it's obvious that the main focus here, the women that they're talking about the most, the women that they're talking about the most in this book is, like, white middle class. And it's very, like, heteronormative. And I know that it was originally published in 1978, and I was hoping that the revised edition would maybe be more inclusive on that aspect, but it doesn't seem like it was. But yeah, because this book really is, it's like about white middle class women. Like, it would be a whole other book to talk about, like, immigrant women. Intersectional at all. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, there were, like, they touched on, like... I don't know, fucking African-American and immigrants and a little bit on poor, but not a lot, you know what I mean? And so, I don't know, it wasn't good.
I'm sorry. My cat is sitting on the bed and he just yawned so big.
Oh, so cute.
Sorry. I'm like talking about serious stuff and I'm staring at my cat. So sorry.
But yeah, so, yeah, it was... entertaining, I guess. Not entertaining, I don't know.
Informative.
It was informative. Yeah, kind of eye-opening. Yeah, I think there are probably other feminist books that could be better to read, I think.
This just seems like something I would have to read in school.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, I had another feminist book that I read, I think. I read like a year or two ago, and it was actually a college textbook.
Have you ever considered going to school for women and gender studies?
I have, but I don't know.
I was going to...
I don't know that I'd want a career that would require my... I would get that degree just because I'd want that degree, but exactly. I don't know that I'd want a degree, like a career from it. You know what I mean?
It might bum you out.
Yeah.
Because it always bums me out, like, learning about mm-hmm. the history. I'm just like, mm-hmm. how do we just lay down and take this shit? Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of things.
Yeah. I feel you there.
Yeah. So.
Woohoo! That was an exciting note to end on.
So sorry.
All right. No, you good. Okay, y'all. So, it was nice talking to you again. And I look forward to doing a you episode.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for listening.
A lot of fun after a while.
Yeah, so. We've missed you all.
Yeah, we did. And.
Oh, yeah, you should follow us on social media.
Yeah.
It's like, I forgot how to. Podcast there for a second.
So you can follow me on my Instagram, I as in your eyeball -ish-ug. We also have our Goodreads Instagram, Goodreads_betterfriends. Check us out. We try to post memes, like just book memes every now and then. But usually it'll just let you know when we've posted a new episode.
Mm-hmm.
You can check us out on Twitter at...
@gr_bfpod. you can find our Tumblr, which is where the show notes go. I do show notes. I make links to all the random stuff we talk about. I'll put a list of where you can find the shows that we... Like, where you can stream the shows that we talk about. I make a playlist of all this music that we talk about, and I post that on our Tumblr page, which is goodreadsbetterfriendspod@tumblr.com. You can email us. We would love to get emails from you guys. Send us your poetry. Send us your short fiction. Send us your art, and we'll share it. We will read poetry and short fiction on the show. We reviewed a book that somebody wrote recently. We actually talked about that on the show, one of our first episodes.
Oh, yeah.
We will, if you make jewelry or art, we'll share it on our Instagram for our followers to see. And we just want to promote creatives' art. So please email us at goodreadsbetterfriendspodcast@gmail.com. And also you can follow me on Instagram at certified_morganic. I had to think about it for a second. Today I posted a picture of a cicada, so that's the quality content that you can expect from me.
And you can expect literally selfies or pictures of my dog, so plants.
Yeah, you know what? Me too, but replace dog with cats. So, yep, that's what you'll get from us, baby. All right. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.